The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello, and welcome to Positively Pro-Life, a podcast brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Positively Pro-Life aims to bring you inspirational and informative stories, conversation, interviews, and updates as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm Bonnie Finnerty, Education Director at the Federation, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Maria Gallagher, the Legislative Director for the Federation. Hey, Maria, how are you doing on this very rainy day?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. And it's so good to be with you today.
Oh, it's so good to be with you. We have a very special and a very important podcast today. In a few moments, we'll be speaking with pro-life investigative journalist David DeLeiden of the Center for Medical Progress. David, known for his expose on Planned Parenthood's trafficking of baby body parts, has uncovered disturbing documentation on the use of aborted fetal tissue at the University of Pittsburgh, a taxpayer-supported institution. David is going to walk us through the details of how and what he discovered, and we'll talk about what needs to happen next. This is a story that's starting to get more and more media attention, as it should, and we are very eager to hear what David has to say. But first, we'll have an abbreviated inspiration segment and a quick legislative update from Maria regarding one of our own Pennsylvania elected officials, Senator Bob Casey. So let's get on with it. Right now, as we speak, the Paralympic Games are being held in Tokyo. The Paralympic Games are a major international sports competition for athletes with disabilities. There are so many incredible athletes there, people with amazing stories to tell, stories of overcoming, persisting, achieving, stories that truly do inspire. And I want to share one of them with you. One of the Paralympians competing is a 30-year-old man named Ernie Gowallen. Ernie is a champion swimmer. He competed in the 2016 Paralympic Games and then won gold at the Asian Paralympic Games in 2018. He is representing his country, the Philippines, in this year's Games in Tokyo. Now, like all the athletes there, Ernie has a disability. He has no legs and an underdeveloped left arm. And these are the result of an attempted abortion. Ernie's mother desperately tried to hide her pregnancy and sought an abortion, but Ernie survived. And he says, quote, "I must have been a good swimmer even in my mother's womb because I survived the abortion." Ernie's dad abandoned him and his mother died when he was just 5 months old, leaving him to be raised by his grandparents. He endured severe bullying throughout his childhood because of his deformed limbs. But there were some people in his path who saw his potential and they encouraged him. And one of the things they encouraged him to do was to pursue swimming. And Ernie's life has never been the same. For Ernie, water has become the great equalizer, washing away his disadvantage. He says, "I used to hide myself. I used to be ashamed of myself, ashamed of why I was born like this. When I am in the water, my physical disability is not visible. I look like a normal person." But really, Ernie is not normal. He is extraordinary. He has overcome so much, even an attempt on his life that deprived him of two legs and an arm. His strength and determination are a testament to the human spirit. His disposition toward life is simply beautiful, and there is so much we can learn from him. He has this to say: "There's a purpose for us in this world. We need to be fighters in life." Amen, Ernie. There is a very touching, powerful 5-minute video on YouTube entitled Gowallen. I'll spell that. It's G-A-W-I-L-A-N. I highly recommend everybody watch it, and I will link to it in today's podcast notes. I believe it will truly inspire you. Now we turn to Maria, who's going to share a special message to Senator Bob Casey.
Thank you so much, Bonnie, and thank you for that wonderful story of inspiration. I'd like to read for you an open letter to Senator Bob Casey. "Dear Senator Casey, We live in an historic time, a time when more and more people are recognizing the innate rights of precious preborn babies. As one of Pennsylvania's U.S. senators, and as a self-described pro-life Democrat, your voice and your vote carry a great deal of weight. Many of your constituents are profoundly disappointed by your recent vote against the Lankford Amendment, an amendment which would have upheld the Hyde Amendment, which bars taxpayer funding of abortion, except in limited cases. The Lankford Amendment also included conscience protections to ensure that healthcare workers are not forced to perform abortions against their conscientious objections. Just recently, in an email to a constituent, you voiced your support of the Hyde Amendment. I applaud you for that, but I am mystified as to why you would then vote against that very protection when it came before you on the Senate floor. You still have an opportunity to safeguard our hard-earned tax dollars from paying for abortions. Please do not squander the opportunity. We know from research that when taxpayer funding of abortions occurs, abortion totals skyrocket. We've already lost more than 62 million Americans to abortion since the devastating 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision known as Roe versus Wade. The losses have been monumental and have diminished us as the nation. Your late father, former PA Governor Robert Casey Sr., once said, a 1990 Gallup poll found that 77% of Americans polled said abortion was the taking of human life. I agree and believe that taking the life of an innocent child is unjust, end quote. Some issues transcend party and politics and speak to the very soul of the country. Taxpayer funding of abortion is one of them. Please open your heart to the silent cry of the innocent preborn child and defend the Hyde Amendment. It would have made your father proud. Bonnie?
Maria, thank you so much. You know, when I was living in Scranton many years ago, I had a chance to meet Governor Bob Casey and have his book signed by him. And it was just an honor to do that. And I really do hope his son has a change of heart. At this time, we would like to introduce our guest. David DeLeiden is a pro-life journalist who works with the Center for Medical Progress, a group dedicated to monitoring and reporting on medical ethics and human dignity. In 2015, after an extensive undercover investigation, the Center for Medical Progress released a series of videos that shocked the nation. These videos showed Planned Parenthood officials discussing how they obtain and sell aborted baby body parts, which is illegal in this country. While David has been persecuted and even prosecuted for revealing these atrocities, he has not relented in exposing crimes against the most vulnerable human beings, those in the womb. And now David, through more investigative work, has uncovered disturbing information about the research being done at the University of Pittsburgh, a taxpayer-supported school. With tremendous courage and conviction, David is leading the charge to hold the university accountable. Currently, several Pennsylvania lawmakers, in addition to some legislators on the federal level, are calling for an investigation of the University of Pittsburgh. We are privileged to have David join us today as our guest. Welcome, David, to our podcast.
It's great to be here with you.
Okay, good. Well, we'll get right to the present controversy. What prompted you to look into research at the University of Pittsburgh? How did you do it, and what did you find?
Sure. So you know, it's actually, I don't know how familiar everyone is with this in Pennsylvania, but you know, Pennsylvania, you know, as you just mentioned in your intro, with the history with Governor Bob Casey, and even, you know, the history that Senator Bob Casey Jr. has tried to tap into politically, Pennsylvania has a, you know, has a reputation as having a, you know, being a pretty pro-life state, having a strong pro-life grassroots history. Yet, very sadly, the University of Pittsburgh has really been a hub for some of the most barbaric experiments done with aborted baby body parts and even done with whole living aborted infants since really before Roe versus Wade. So from the very first time that I was doing, that I was starting to do investigative research about the phenomenon of fetal trafficking and fetal experimentation in our country, some of the earliest exposés that were done on this topic by pro-life journalists, some of whom are actually from Pennsylvania, really focused on the University of Pittsburgh as, you know, going back to the 1970s as a location where some of the worst fetal experimentation was going on. So Pittsburgh and the University of Pittsburgh were always sort of on my radar at the very beginning, although me starting to look into this stuff in 2010, 2011, 2012, and then finally starting Center for Medical Progress in 2013 to actually do the undercover work. We were certainly a lot more focused on the we were more focused initially on the outpatient abortion clinics and freestanding abortion clinics' role in fetal trafficking, as opposed to many of the universities, because there's so many more universities using baby body parts than there are abortion clinics that are supplying them. But Pittsburgh was sort of on my radar from the beginning. While my team was undercover at a Planned Parenthood abortion industry trade show, we met a group of abortion providers who were from Planned Parenthood Western Pennsylvania, simultaneously on staff at the University of Pittsburgh, and they told us very straightforwardly undercover that they were the ones who were supplying baby body parts to the university's tissue bank. And so that, you know, that sort of set my radar off a little bit back in 2014 when we had that that conversation undercover with them, and still continuing to do the background research with the scientific literature and other investigative research while the undercover work itself was going on. Pittsburgh still came up from time to time with some, you know, with some of the most egregious, really scary Frankenstein style baby body parts experiments, you know, where they're delivering babies whole and alive in order to harvest the livers and things like that. So Pittsburgh was always out there in my mind while I was doing the undercover work as sort of a big stinky onion with many layers that needed to be unwrapped. And in 2019, beginning in 2019, I started being told by sources that the FBI and DOJ investigation that had started after the congressional investigations that were prompted by my videos that led to over a dozen criminal and regulatory referrals for Planned Parenthood and their business partners for the illegal trafficking of baby body parts. I started to be told by sources in 2019 that Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was one of the locations where the FBI felt that they had the strongest fact pattern on Planned Parenthood illegally selling baby body parts. And again, that really made my spidey senses kind of spike up because I thought, you know, Pittsburgh, that's one of those places that, like, people have been talking about Pittsburgh, people who know have been talking about Pittsburgh for decades, really. So that sort of refocused me on Pittsburgh specifically in 2019. I published an op-ed about the live fetal liver harvesting protocol that was developed by Dr. Yuri Gerlach there. He's been publishing on extensively. Then at the very end of 2020, beginning of 2021, this, you know, absolutely horrific, depraved information came out about this experiment where they were taking the scalps off of 5-month-old aborted babies and stitching them onto lab rats to keep them growing. This was funded with multiple grants from the NIH, including from the NIAID office, which is run by Dr. Anthony Fauci. So we've been really trying to focus public attention on the baby parts experiments and even the use of born alive fetuses for organ harvesting for experiments at the University of Pittsburgh. The other big one that we've been focusing on this summer, we were able to obtain the original grant application documents, the original NIH grant application documents from the NIH, from the University of Pittsburgh, applying for a $3 million NIH grant to become this big distribution hub. And this is the actual words that they use in the program, to become a distribution hub for aborted fetal kidneys, taxpayer funded across the country. And this grant application reads like an episode of American Horror Story for any of your listeners who are watching this stuff. It explicitly advertises to the NIH that University of Pittsburgh is going to use labor induction abortions, which are where the baby is just pushed out whole out of the mother. They're going to use labor induction abortions as a quote method to obtain tissue. And they say that they are going to be able to track and time and take steps to minimize the warm ischemia time of the body parts when they harvest them. And the standard medical definition of ischemia, the NIH definition of ischemia, is when there's a loss of circulation of blood to the body parts. So if you put those two things together, what the University of Pittsburgh is saying is that they're going to be delivering these late term fetuses for organ harvesting, and they know the exact time when their kidneys are going to be cut off from blood supply, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that the time with blood loss is kept to a total minimum. So these are clearly cases of at the very least classic partial birth abortion and probably straight up infanticide, where the baby is being delivered whole and alive and the cause of death is cutting the kidneys out. So this is very serious. Mm. It's very disturbing. This is not new, sadly. There have been whistleblower reports going back to the 1970s of nurses from the University of Pittsburgh training hospital coming forward and telling the Pennsylvania legislature, we're seeing live babies being packed in ice and shipped off to laboratories. The head of Pitt's anatomy department from the 1930s to the 1950s was doing experiments on live aborted infants, and there are videos of it on YouTube. So this has been going on for decades at the University of Pittsburgh. They have never repudiated it. And when we confronted them about all this, and they started to get questions about this from news media in the past month here, they explicitly said in their statement to news media, they said, yeah, ischemia time means the time after the tissue collection procedure is completed. Again, ischemia means the time when an organ is cut off from its blood supply. So the plain meaning of what Pitt is saying is if ischemia time in their application means the time after tissue collection is completed, then it means that there's blood flow up until the time that they do the tissue collection. So it's outrageous. It's Kermit Gosnell level activity happening. We all knew the terrible story of Kermit Gosnell and how he was able to get away with running his House of Horrors in Philadelphia for over 17 years because he was running an abortion clinic. And so the state of Pennsylvania thought it would be inappropriate to investigate an abortion clinic because that would place burdens on the abortion business in Philadelphia. Same reason, nobody's been following up on what's been going on in Pittsburgh on the other side of the state for decades and decades. And so they feel like they can literally just get away with partial birth abortion and with infanticide. So there are some very good pro-life local lawmakers in Pennsylvania who are really spearheading the effort to have accountability here and to get to the bottom of what's going on. There's been a lot of calls from prominent voices for serious investigations at the University of Pittsburgh. By the way, University of Pittsburgh runs a big abortion training program together with the local Planned Parenthood there, Planned Parenthood of Western Pennsylvania. I mentioned before, I met the abortion providers undercover. They're all the Planned Parenthood doctors in Pittsburgh are on staff at the University of Pittsburgh. The medical director of that local Planned Parenthood is on the institutional review board that approves all of the fetal experimentation at the University of Pittsburgh. And Pitt has been a major training site for Planned Parenthood to train new abortion doctors for at least 15 years at this point, I think a little bit longer. And so they're not only just exporting baby body parts across the country with NIH money, but also with taxpayer money, they are training and exporting some of the worst Planned Parenthood abortion doctors all across the country as well. So that's a brief overview. I know there's a lot of information to unpack there. That is my first answer to your first question.
Well, thank you for the very comprehensive overview. It was very, very helpful. I mean, it's just so disturbing. It's hard to know where to begin. Just so gruesome and so disappointing. I guess, you know, my first reaction is I just can't understand how so many people can be involved in an industry like this. There's been whistleblowers in the past, but just the overlap between the abortionists and the university, and then this whole industry of tissue procurement and selling, I mean, that's become a business. Can you speak to that a little bit about in terms of why they're buying baby organs and how much they sell them for, and why is this being done?
Yeah, definitely. So the very sad fact is that basically because children in the womb and even, you know, recently born premature children who are born in the course of a late term abortion, because they're basically as a class of people, they are subject to probably the greatest violation of equal protection rights under the Constitution. Of any group right now, and comparatively historically, it's comparable to great historic injustices. You know, even though under federal law, a child in the womb at any gestation, and a child born alive at any gestation is considered to be a human being with full constitutional rights, there is this big asterisk and this big exception for the case of abortion. It's like dot dot dot, except if it's an induced abortion, then the baby in the womb or the baby newly out of the womb, doesn't have the same legal protections. It's a huge double standard that has existed in our law for many years. I think because of that, it's precisely because of that, because of the existence of legal abortion in our country, it makes the baby vulnerable to abortion, basically an unperson and a very convenient, convenient and relatively cheap in the sense of like compared to like an adult person's organs, a relatively convenient supply of raw human biological material for whatever kinds of experiments anyone would want to do. So the uses of aborted baby body parts for experimentation really sort of run the gamut from on one side of the spectrum, you have very, very basic like biological tinkering, like the tissues and cells of the aborted babies are really just a sort of a cheap, convenient supply of just like raw human tissues and cells for whatever kind of basic tinkering a scientist might want to do. There's a lot of stem cell applications. Aborted fetuses are a prized source of certain kinds of stem cells for certain kinds of stem cell research. Then on the far end of the spectrum, there's very Frankenstein-like stuff going on, like I described, where they're taking baby body parts, whether it's the liver, the thymus, sometimes the heart. They're taking skin and either grafting it onto or stitching it into lab rats and lab mice to keep it growing. The humanized mice, they call them humanized mice. So we killed the baby in an abortion, but now we're going to try and turn a mouse into a partial human. What they do is they're able to with these mice who don't have their own immune, so they're immunodeficient mice, so they can basically get them to regrow a human immune system inside the mouse, or you know, if they're growing other kinds of organ systems inside the mouse with the baby body parts, then that's a very popular platform for big pharmaceutical companies and others to use for drug development, like new drug development and disease testing and things like that. So the uses of aborted babies for experiments really runs the gamut from a lot of different things. But it's convenient. It's relatively convenient for the experimenters because the aborted baby is, they don't have a name, they don't have a legal identity. You're never going to get sued by an aborted baby, basically, for not doing your experiment the right way, and you're probably not going to get sued by a mother who, you know, who's traumatized by the abortion and just doesn't want to think about it anymore.
We only have about a minute left, and I was wondering, what do you think the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania should do about this situation with only a minute left?
Yeah, well, I think that every level of government officials and oversight in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania needs to be activated and involved and engaged in making sure that there is total transparency, like 120% transparency and full accountability for the abortion programs and the fetal experimentation and the fetal trafficking that's practiced at the University of Pittsburgh. I know that there's a call for the Pennsylvania Auditor General right now to open up a full investigation. That investigation should be exacting and meticulous and extremely thorough. The Pennsylvania legislature should be subpoenaing the records for all of this information from the University of Pittsburgh and from Planned Parenthood of Western Pennsylvania as well.
We've been speaking with David DeLeiden of the Center for Medical Progress. David, thank you for your courage, your conviction, and your wonderful work on behalf of preborn babies and their mothers. Now, if you would like to sign our online petition against unethical research, please visit our website at www.paprolife.org. That's www.paprolife.org. Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with more than 40 local county-based chapters. Thank you for joining us, and remember, there's always a reason to choose life.